This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Say yes to Pure Leaf Tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf Tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What is Dax, are you
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Good Wednesday afternoon and welcome into Grant and Danny. We're taking you up to 6:30 this evening on The Fan. At 4 o'clock ahead of the Beltway Blitz, we've got tickets to go see Joe Coy do comedy at Capital One Arena. And at 5 o'clock, when we are joined by Barry Sferluga of The Washington Post to discuss his recent interview exclusively with Mark Lerner, we've got Wizards tickets to give away because it is a Wizards Wednesday. So if you want those ticks, listen at 5 when Barry joins us, and we'll give them away at the start of the segment.
GP, you know those games where you happen to be tuning in and Steph Curry is just unconscious, where he's knocking down every single shot, and you're just going, that's a bad shot, but it's not because Steph Curry's taking it? When a guy's just that in a zone, pick up hoops last night. Now, it wasn't like the Steph Curry thing, but I shot well. That was a nice little setup for it. I had a really nice night. Now, I can't guard anybody, and I turned it over a bunch. I blew a bunch of layups because I got no lift and no separation. I can't really move around, but I can stand and shoot sometimes, GP. Good shooting night last night.
Happy for you.
I'll get you the stat line.
Whenever you're ready.
Yeah, there are a couple.
I'm hoping to sleep tonight, so if you don't get it to me, I don't know how I could possibly get to bed.
You'll be able to move on the rest of your day. There's a couple video game updates. I saw a Dragon Ball Z update that I'll send you. So I have a whole slew of updates I'm going to send your way. I'll get you the info.
I get home yesterday. And while you were hooping and knocking down jumpers, it sounds like, my kids ran up to the front door, meet me as I get there,
wow,
which is a great feeling. Doesn't always happen. And they're telling me that they just got a board game in the mail that I guess my daughter plays at school that she was really excited about, called Outfoxed. If you're not familiar,
no file,
and you got a young kid, this could be your next purchase. Outfoxed is pretty good. You got to roll some dice. You got to determine if you're looking for suspects or clues. And then you're trying to basically catch the fox before he gets home.
Oh.
And we put Henry in jail twice last night. That's what I'm trying to tell
you. Henry the fox?
Henry the fox committed not one, but two crimes.
Wow.
And both times we caught him, and he went to prison. Outfoxed was a big hit at the Paulson household.
That's awesome.
Last evening. So that was our big activity while you were lighting it up from deep.
Did everybody play by the rules?
No, definitely not.
Yeah, that's an issue.
Young people don't like doing that.
They hate it.
They get very upset You get three rolls. If you don't get what you need, then Henry gets to move up closer to home. They don't like that very much.
No. They make up their own as they go.
There's also you're supposed to move on the board, and you don't get to the clue every single time. Sometimes you're short of a clue, and you got to roll again. No, we're just going to slide as many spots as we need to get to the clue.
Just to get to that clue.
Yeah.
There's a junior, Monopoly Junior at the beach where we go every year. And my oldest is basically like, I can't do this anymore. I can't play with the younger kids because they just if it doesn't go their way, it's a tantrum. And if it does go their way, they rub it in your face. It's like awful. And I go, I know. I'll get you whatever you want. Please sit down and
wear
play.
It so with we can me.
Just yeah. I've never won. Somehow he's never won. It's the little kids that win. But it's like this. This is not the way the rules are. It's the way we play. The rules are so clearly written. They're right here.
The NFL about an hour ago informed teams that the 2025 salary cap per club is going to be in the range of about $280 million. It seems like just yesterday, I remember the reaction we all had when they got to 180.
Mm-hmm.
$280 million. It's going to be somewhere between 277 and 282. But that is hugely up from the $255.4 million salary cap 1 year ago. The cap will have increased by more than $53 million over the last 2 years.
Pretty wild.
This has always been my point when we talk about what you can't financially afford, what you can't do. Oh, but you can't pay that quarterback. Sure you can. I don't know if I can pay this wide receiver. You sure about that? Even teams that are cash-strapped all the time, the Cowboys, the Saints, they'll figure it out. And a big part of the figuring it out, Danny, this cap explodes every single year because the league just prints money, and it's a juggernaut that knows no slowing down.
There will be some time where the rate of increase does slow down. I don't know when that is.
Yeah, it's one of those things, to your point, you're right. You cannot, if you're a team, count on getting another $20 million every year.
Right.
Because the time that you bake that into your budget, now you're screwed.
And if it goes up five, no, oh man, now it's a bad deal.
But $53 million over 2 years.
It's wild. I mean, I remember $200 million thinking, wow, that's incredible. And that's, you know, ancient history. As it rapidly approaches three, at this rate, it'll be $300 million within a year or two.
The Commanders were supposed to have had around $80 million. That number is going to get bigger now, obviously. But what's most important is you just compare them to the other 31 teams they compete against.
Right.
Only two teams have more money to spend in free agency than Washington. So whatever they gain in allowance, so to speak, everyone else gains. But they're still going to have the third most money to spend. They could still, by the way, create even more space pretty easily if they wanted to cut John Allen or move on from him. If they wanted to cut Andrew Wiley, just to name a couple of their veterans. They don't need to do that because they've got nothing but money. And we found out last year, I think they're not going to be the front office that's always spending up to the cap, whatever you have. They believe in rolling it over probably. But, man, are they in a good spot financially.
100%. And you've got a lot of needs to fill, so it's good. You could be in a – let's say they had the number of free agents and short-term guys that they do, and they were in – I don't know, I'm making up a team. In the Falcons case, who were over the cap, probably end up being right at the cap at this stage. You still got to fill those needs. You got to sign some players to contracts, whether they're, you know, the big budget guys, the middle class, or your bargain basement bin, which they majored in last year. You need to fill in a bunch of signings. So it's actually fortuitous that they've got that amount of cap space to be able to do that. Because, again, it's not all about big game hunting. You'd love a couple of those players, some blue chippers, some frontline guys to help their talent level, which I think they need. But that's, you know, sometimes it's the unsexy ones that are the important signings, right? Your Zach Ertz's, your Austin Eckler's, the guys that aren't like leading NFL Network because, oh my God, where did the top number four free agent in all of football sign? That's not what always wins.
They do have, I would think, the highest number of UFAs maybe overall in the league because of all of the one-year contracts they signed last year. I mean, it is a ton of players. Many of them are going to be easy to bring back if they want to. But it's a ton of guys that are hitting the market if they choose not to bring them back, which is something I kept bringing up at the end of last year. They're going to be more talented. There's no doubt about it. At almost every position, probably, they should theoretically have more talent in 2025 than they had in 2024. But the reason that they won as many games as they did this past year and got to the NFC Championship game is not necessarily that they had the most talent. It helps that you have Jaden Daniels, and there's some really good football players like Terry McLaurin on the team. But it was, as much as anything else, Danny, about the product of the environment. It was about the culture. It was about the locker room and the brotherhood, if I could say that.
We have a bell
it back
for that.
To the brotherhood bell.
There it is.
Can you recapture that? If you have 25 or 30 new players
on
the team.
Yeah, easier said than done, yeah.
Like, I view a locker room as almost like a chemistry experiment, right? Where you're like, pouring these potions into a pot and you're mixing it up, and when you get the perfect locker room, that was last year, the brotherhood, are you able to do that again when you're now starting over with new potions? That's a hard thing to do, but that's why Dan Quinn is beloved and seems to, you know, be able to mix those potions better than most.
Yeah, you would say some of those key, to say with the chemistry analogy, some of those key ingredients you would expect to come back, be it an Ertz, be it a Wagner, be it, you know, I don't know, you could go down the list of guys that you feel like were instrumental in leading that culture, and then you can change some of the other variables, right? The 48th guy on the roster doesn't have to be the same. It can be another guy that wants, that has buy-in, that is going to listen to Bobby Wagner when he talks, right? But it's easier said than done, to your point. I mean, there is a balance between... you know, the guys that have this will and this personality and would fit into the culture and talent. Sometimes you got to go, we need a little bit more talent. I'm willing to bend on a guy that may not be exactly the right character, dude. I mean, think back to the great Redskins teams of yore. Guys like John Riggins were like staying out late and you know, breaking curfew and doing whatever they wanted. You need some of those guys when the talent is that good, but you can't major in it. It can't be that's all you have. Then it's a bunch of me first dudes that don't work. There's that, as you said, it's a very delicate balance to find, you know, that sort of ever teetering scale of guys with buy-in, guys who want to be part of it, guys are the quote-unquote right guys that maybe went as far as they could this past year. They needed more talent, but you don't want to sacrifice too much of that chemistry.
Well, even some of the down the depth chart guys, like you mentioned the 48th guy, like a Sheldon Day when he's brought in.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they sang his praises as one of their real core important players. And I think sometimes those guys are largely responsible for the chemistry experiment. Like, they are a big part of the potion, even if you didn't pour a whole lot into the pot. So it's going to be really complicated and difficult to create what they did last year. But I think you hope that just by having Jaden Daniels, and as you said, if you could bring back some of the real veteran leaders like Ertz, like Wagner, that you're going to be in a pretty good spot regardless. And maybe the talent makes up for a little bit of the lack of how great the locker room was last year if they can't get it to the same level. The other NFL news today that we should hit on was that it did become official that the NFL is going back to Brazil in the opening weekend. So on Friday night, just like they did last year for Eagles-Packers, what will be the second day of the NFL season, you'll have the opener on Thursday night in Philly with whoever the Eagles play. And then the following night, Friday, in Brazil, you're going to have the Chargers hosting presumably an AFC game, if I had to guess, but it could be any of their opponents that are visiting them. And Washington is one of those teams, which we can get into. But this was a success last year for the league. Anything they do globally is a smashola. People love football. People want games. When you send a decent product, and they did last year with Jordan Love in Green Bay.
Yeah, two really good teams.
Jalen Hurts in Philly, two playoff teams, and a team that won the Super Bowl. The response was a packed house and a lot of people in a country falling deeper in love with football. So I'm not surprised that they're going to run this back for the second time in as many years.
Yeah, I mean, and hopefully they've, you know, got some better procedures in place. Because remember, not to put a dark cloud over it, but there were a lot of complaints, security concerns and different things that ultimately got to the point where the players were ordered to stay in their rooms kind of leading up to the game. And it then resulted in beefed up security. And you know, then they went, no, everything's fine here. Hoping that we don't have to go through that rigmarole this time around in Brazil.
I might go through that rigmarole if I was a player. I probably would just stay in my room. Respectfully, mm-hmm. Unless, you know, the league is coming with us everywhere with security guards or whatever. It's a business trip. I'm there to play football at the end of the weekend. If I don't get to go walk around and see things, like when you go to London, you get to go see Big Ben or something, that's okay. You're a target, sadly. I mean, think about what's happening here in the United States,
yeah,
where these guys' homes when they're not playing. I think we've had 7 or 8 different players
Joe Burrow's
in the major
house,
sports
or whatever, yeah,
get broken into. If everybody there knows that the Chargers are walking around, I don't need to be a target, man. So I'll be at my resort, and you can tell me when the bus goes to the stadium. That's just me.
Yeah, I smell what you're cooking there. But, it, you know, it's not even that. It's like, can I go to the lobby to get... like a handful of peanuts or something like that? You're not allowed to do that. You know what I mean? It's like, it sounds like they've got their...
You could probably figure out a way to make the resort pretty nice.
I'm saying it sounds like they got their ducks in a row here this time. But it took a lot of complaining and a lot of like, hey, are we noticing this? This is a problem. And now they beat up security, hoping it's that way from Jump Street.
We were speaking about this yesterday, though. There's two possibilities for the Commanders to go international, one of which would be to play the Dolphins, who they play on the road in Madrid. And the other is to play the Chargers, who they've got a road game against supposedly in L.A., but it could very well be in this Brazil game on the opener on Friday night. I still think there's a better chance statistically anyway, because it's a division game and you know, the number of games each team has at home, that they end up playing Philly in the Thursday night opener as a recap of a rematch of the NFC Championship game. I would rather that, too. I think that would be awesome and a great showcase. But I also understand, like, if you are Josh Harris, Mitch Rails, Mark Hine, Magic Johnson, this ownership group, I'll bet you'd love to go international because you can put a little bit of a flag in the ground, whether it's in Madrid or in Brazil. If you're one of the early teams to play a game there and you're as marketable as Washington is, like, from a league standpoint, why wouldn't you want to showcase Jaden Daniels internationally?
Yeah.
And instead of having a American football star, you could have a global legend on the football field.
Totally.
If you sent him there, I'm just going to say, 2 or 3 years in a row, they play in Madrid or Spain, they're whatever that group is for, you know, the Jags in London. You've got an entire market you've just introduced to this young ascending star.
Yeah, so I was talking to someone about this last night. And for fans that are already in, let's say the Grants and Dannys of the universe, that doesn't really do much for me, honestly, them playing internationally. Like, it's an awkward game time. I don't want them to play on a Friday night or a Saturday morning or Sunday morning or something like that.
Well, these games, I think, have been prime time at night. It would feel, I think, like a Monday Night Football game.
So the Friday one, I think it was, I don't want that because that's unusual. To me, like, I want them on normal TV, normal prime time, normal whatever. But for them, like, the second silo is from the organization, the point you just raised. If I'm part of the ownership group, if I'm part of the people who are going, where can we make some more money? That's the way to make more money. I've got one of the ultimate crown jewels of the sport that's the hottest thing since sliced bread. Let's go on a tour. Let's go play in Madrid or London or wherever so that, you know, when he goes for 230 yards and a couple touchdowns and makes a couple unbelievable highlight plays that people are running to the, you know, not concessions, the apparel store and ripping those Jaden Daniels things off the wall, all in on that. That
would make sense. I say this all the time at the NFL. There is still money to be had in the United States, obviously, because we're just obsessed with this sport. But they have found a bunch of money under couch cushions already.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have done a lot of digging. My daughter's big on this, where she always wants change. And she has this fundraiser at school. And so, like, if I pick up a cushion or if I look somewhere, we've probably already found the change that was there. I think there's so much money everywhere you look still. Internationally,
yes.
For the NFL.
That's their growth, and they realized it.
You don't have to overturn rocks. I mean, it's just still like there's still quarters laying on the floor in the kitchen. You haven't gone around and picked it all up yet, and they just know there's so much money there. This is not going to subside. This will happen more and more and more. Every year they're going to introduce a new game. I forget this year, where is it? Madrid might be the first
might
time
the new
game.
One, yeah.
But we've had Munich. We've had Madrid, right? Brazil 2 years in a row. London, the number of games is growing, not getting smaller. At this point, I'm just a person who's like covering my ears and stomping my feet saying, I don't need all the international games. I don't really care. I like standalone NFL games. I don't mind the early 9:30 a.m. starts that you hate. I don't mind primetime games in another country. It doesn't really affect me. The more games that are being aired when nothing else is on, the better, because it's just more football that I get to watch during the week. The only caveat I'll apply, though, is that I don't want my team affected if I'm a season ticket holder all that often. Like that, and that'd be number one. Number two, I don't want a team based full-time outside of the United States. Like, that's my bridge too far. That's where now you're annoying me and you're making the product worse, and I like the league less when it's the London Jaguars. I'm out on that.
Yep.
But if you just want to have a traveling road show where you get more and more money because you can't help yourself and you want to appease your greed, cool, you do that. Fine. I'll just keep watching the games. Just let me know when they're on, and I'll be there on my couch with my chips and dip.
So, I mean, I care so much about this team and their wins and losses and health and all that other kind of stuff. So, like, again, it doesn't do anything for me if the game is in Brazil. Like, that doesn't move the needle for me at all. Like, I'm not helped by that. Does that make sense? Like,
You hurt by it?
Not really.
Yeah. It's a nothing burger.
It's a minor inconvenience if it's on at a weird time.
You know what
That's
we haven't
it.
Mentioned, though, over 2 days of talking about this off and on, is last year, Washington traveled less than any team in the NFL.
Uh-huh.
And I legitimately believe this. People could roll their eyes if they want to. I think one of the sneaky contributors to their impressive season last year was their travel schedule. They were in the air on their bird for fewer miles than any other team, and it wasn't even particularly close. If you look at their travel schedule, remember there was like a 7-week stretch where they didn't have to get on a plane around their bye week, where they were going to Philly and, you know, a bunch of stuff where they were like able to take some trains, mm-hmm. and whatever. Now, they did fly, but I'm saying you
wouldn't
have
had to yeah.
if you wanted to just do it a little old school with the travel. I bring that up to say, if you're playing in an international game and West Coast games, that changes very quickly. And with what we know now about sports and sports science with sleep and rest, I think it could actually be a major difference maker in their season compared to a year ago when they had as good a schedule in terms of miles traveled as anyone's ever had.
Yeah, and then you add in the opponents that you're going to go play. When you fly across the country to Kansas City, the Chiefs are there waiting. When you fly across to play the Chargers, that's a playoff team that's year two under Harbaugh that's getting better. That's if the game is in L.A. and not Sao Paulo. So I think it's well seen. I think it was the Cleveland at Baltimore, home against Carolina, home against the Bears, at New York, home against Pittsburgh, at Philly.
Yeah.
And then a couple more home games. Like, you're not moving that. You're not going that far. You don't leave the your time zone.
I could get a horse and meet you at all your games.
Seriously. I could get there at the same time.
Grant and Danny on the Fan. We do have tickets today to Joe Coy at 4 o'clock ahead of the Blitz. It's a Wizards Wednesday, so we'll give away those Wizards tickets at 5 o'clock ahead of Barry's for Luga. Next, though, the Dodgers are getting a lot of heat as baseball's villain because they keep signing all of the top players available this offseason. Are they actually the bad guy, though? Should people be upset at the Dodgers? You're listening to G&D.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games, or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danny, you and I were talking yesterday about the possibility of Thursday night's USA-Canada final for the Four Nations face-off eclipsing 10 million viewers in America.
Mm-hmm.
They had around 5 million viewers in the United States for their game this past weekend. This is going to be on a weeknight. You figure TV ratings go up a little bit in prime time. Well, I just saw this. 10.1 million viewers if you count Canada. So in North America, watched Canada and the United States. 10.1 million in their matchup going back to the weekend.
Yeah, USA 5, Canada 5. You know what I mean? That's how I do that math, right?
Wow.
Yep.
we said this yesterday, but somebody at the NHL headquarters should be getting a nice, fat, juicy paycheck.
Spin kicks and a mini parade around the office. You know what I mean? Like, put your feet up and relax because you've done good.
A year ago at this time, maybe they'd already come up with this concept. I don't know. But there was a point in the not-too-distant past where they were just going to trot out another 3-on-3 All-Star tournament. And that's more entertaining than what the NBA does, so mm-hmm. I'm not killing them.
Right.
But this, man, I think they've played their final All-Star game. What about you? At least for a little while.
Yeah, major in this. I mean, Scott Van Pelt said this last night on SportsCenter, happened to be watching. He had a hockey guest on, and he said exactly the way I've been feeling.
Was it Bucci Gross? Who do you have on?
No.
Steve Levy?
No, I'm blanking on her name. Emily Kaplan.
Okay.
To talk about the tournament.
Yeah.
And he was saying, I admit, I didn't understand what this was beforehand. I kind of didn't get it. I didn't know what the guys care. I wasn't really sure. Forget all that. I'm in. They're in. It's the greatest. Like, it went from, okay, I'll check it out, to when's the next one? Like, build this. This is it right
Bro,
here.
Think about this.
Yeah.
They have guys, this both teams now, when I say they, I meant United States, but Canada does too, that are coming back from injuries to play in the final.
Mm-hmm.
Think about the difference here of a couple hours before the All-Star game. I don't mean to joke on LeBron, but LeBron's like, yeah, I'm actually just not going to play this year, guys. I've done this for 20 years. I'm good. But other sports too, where guys just sure. opt out and yeah. say, I'm not interested. In this sport, there's an injury report right now where the Tkachuk brothers are both super banged up. We don't know if Brady's going to be able to go or not. But the rumor today is that they're all playing, basically.
Mm-hmm.
That the guys that are probable are going to go, that you've got these guys that are going to come back from injury, that have been getting treatment, or you know that were in the hospital a handful of days ago for whatever reason, and they're going to give it a go. Like, that's how badly the players want to win this thing. And now with the U.S. and Canada going head-to-head, it's just even bigger and better. Like, you couldn't have drawn up a better series finale.
Yeah. Now, listen, the whole thing was set up so the U.S. and Canada could play a bunch of times. And that's fine by me.
Kind of. I mean, Sweden could have won the thing. Finland could have won.
I suppose.
They were the two best teams in a four-team field. So, yeah, ideally, we were going to get this. But it wasn't like the ice was tilted against Sweden or Finland. They got good hockey players.
Yeah, they're perfectly good. This was a U.S.-Canada thing all along, and I'm fine with it, by the way. That's not a criticism. It was we need to have, instead of just having the U.S. and Canada play on a Wednesday and call it the All-Star break, we need to set up a little thing that ends up going this way. And I'm sure, you know, puck could have bounced a bad way and Finland could have beaten somebody or whatever. But the point is, it was set up to this dream scenario.
I don't think it would be that different, though, if it was the U.S. and Russia playing in this game either. I mean, there's a little bit of tension now between Canada booing the anthem and some of the things going on kind of in the news. But in terms of, like, in the future, handful of years from now, in a different world, in that multiverse, when Russia's allowed to play in this thing, that's going to be pretty cool, too.
Yes, it will be.
I will say that as a Caps fan, I'm just glad I don't have to deal with Willie being on Canada or Ovi being on Russia, because that gets really complicated fast.
I am thrilled there are no Capitals in this thing. Thrilled. For multiple reasons.
I was livid when the rosters came out. I am now happy about it. I do wish John Carlson was playing for the Americans. Captain America, who scored a game-winning goal in juniors for USA and completely got robbed not being on the roster, I thought. But rest is a pretty good thing when you're the best team in the East.
Indeed. And you're a veteran group. And it's not as if he's a 24-year-old defenseman who's one of the best in the world.
Yeah.
You know, there's a 3 in front of his age, so just fine with him getting some R&R.
So I wanted to talk about a comment that the commissioner of Major League Baseball, Rob Manfred, made. If we could head on over to the diamond for a moment and to Phoenix, where spring training's being held in the Cactus League. The New York Yankees were once the evil empire. We now have a new evil empire in the sport. And that is, of course, the Los Angeles Dodgers. They got more heat and more flack and more blowback than anybody else this offseason as people were yelling about their $390 million payroll, Danny. I'm going to say that again.
Man.
$390 million their payroll. That is at least $100 million more than any other team in baseball, with the exception of the New York Mets, who have the richest owner by far, who spends money hand over foot as well. This is a sport that generated $12.1 billion last season, Major League Baseball. Think about that for a moment. What they brought in was $12.1 billion. The Dodgers, because they go out and spend more than everybody else, have become the bad guy. And Rob Manfred, the commissioner, was asked one of the ongoing questions now in sports and on talk radio and, you know, people at the water cooler is basically, do we need a salary cap? Are the Dodgers bad for baseball? Are they ruining everything? Because every free agent, whether it's, you know, I could run through the list of guys they signed this offseason, but even the guys that they didn't, like Juan Soto, they're expected to end up there, and when they don't, it's a surprise. It's basically a two-horse race, really, now. It's the Dodgers and the Mets. This is what Manfred said, who's the commissioner of the big leagues. He says, it's clear we have fans in some markets that are concerned about the ability of the team in their market to compete with the financial resources of the Dodgers. No kidding.
Yep.
He went on to say, if we've been consistent on one point, it is to try to listen to our fans on topics like this. The dollars are obviously bigger, Manfred said. I think that the interesting fun fact that the Dodgers, whatever they spent, are probably more profitable on a percentage basis than the old Yankees were, meaning it could be more sustainable to spend this way. So it is more of a problem. Look, it is the core of the issue in our economic system. It's the disparity-driven difference in terms of the ability to compete. So it's sort of the same. And he's referencing the lopsided nature of the Dodgers versus, say, the Pirates or these teams like the A's or the Nationals that don't spend any money, right? But he went on to say the Dodgers are not breaking any rules. They're playing by the rules. They're operating within the system. We could go in deeper into some of his comments. But the reason I wanted to bring this up is I find that the conversation being had around baseball right now is getting out of whack. People are coming down on the Dodgers and the Mets when, you could disagree with me if you want to, Danny, they aren't the problem. The problem is the teams that don't spend. The Dodgers are doing it correctly. They make a lot of money, and then they reinvest the money into their operation. The Mets have an owner that is going to spend until he can't spend anymore. That's good, not bad. Now, if you want a salary floor, I'm all for that. If you want a salary cap, I guess that could help in some way, possibly. The players will never go with that, and because of that, it's never going to happen. But I guess, Danny, my point is, we're acting like the Dodgers are the villain. The villain is the offseason the Nats just had. The villain is the A's and the Marlins and the Pirates, the owners that don't reinvest the money that they make. That, to me, is what we should be talking about. That we have some divisions where there's 60% of the division where people aren't trying to win. Like, that's more an issue than, oh, the damn Dodgers, I hate them, they signed another guy. You mean, like, trying? Think about your industry. Companies that spend versus don't spend. Who's the problem?
So I think it's twofold. One, you're right that the teams on the bottom, there shouldn't be. We shouldn't have an A's, a Nationals, a Marlins, you know, unless there's a specific design. Like, if your whole point is, hey, we need to get bad before we get good again, no problem. Go through that period. But when it's time to compete and you refuse to, like the Pirates, for example, that's inexcusable and that's wrong. But
you can tank there. Like, you could be a passerby in not spendingville. You can't live there all the time. That's a rent, not a buy situation.
Right, and that's what's happening. So the Pirates are now a minor league system for the rest of Major League Baseball. And it's ridiculous, quite frankly. And I guess kind of my counter to that, though, where you and I think disagree about this, is they do need a salary cap. They do need a way to prevent a franchise from basically going, all right, welcome to the Major League season. I've now been eliminated because the Dodgers are so much better than me for 7 months. The difference between football, basketball, and some of these others is this is every night beating into your psyche that your team has no chance over months and months and months and months and months. Who wins the tournament at the end? That's who's hot, who's healthy, you know, who gets going. The Rangers won one, and, you know, the Dodgers got a COVID one, and, you know, how weird is it the Nats did it once? That's less important to me. The fact is that it's every night for so many months where your team has no shot and you know it. You could spend everything up to your limit if you're the, I'll use the Pittsburgh Pirates. If you're the Pittsburgh Pirates, you could do everything possible, max out your payroll, invest as much as you possibly can to not make any kind of profit, and you can't compete with the teams at the highest level in terms of salary and likewise, because you're not a big market team. So there needs to be a playing field that tilts both ways down to kind of in the middle, if that makes sense. Tilt the teams up at the top from being able to spend hundreds of millions of dollars per year more than teams in the middle class. And then teams down at the bottom, that needs as much of a fix too, in my opinion.
So again, I'm not anti-salary cap, but I think a salary floor is more urgent and important than a salary cap. Again, the problem is the teams that don't spend, not the teams that spend too much. In terms of what is a bigger issue or where we're perilous as a sport, if we want to call it that. But The only thing we'll disagree on, because I don't think we disagree necessarily on the cap part of it, doesn't sound like, where we'll disagree is this idea that you can't compete. I don't agree with that. The Dodgers have won one World Series since I was born in 1988. You know, that was the last time before this past year that they won an actual World Series where they played 162 games. They had the COVID-shortened year in 2020 where it was a sprint and 60 days, and that's the list of their other championship before this past season. Now, do they get to roll the baseball out and be a 90-plus win team and win a division? Absolutely. But there's actually more of a parity in baseball when you look at how many teams have played in the World Series, how many teams have participated in League Championship Series, than even, say, in the NFL, a salary cap sport, in the Super Bowl or the conference championship games, where the Eagles just played in a third Super Bowl in 8 years, and the Chiefs have been in seven conference title games in a row, and in the Super Bowl five of the last 6 years. You know, in baseball, you get these one-off years from the Diamondbacks, the Nationals, the Phillies made their run 1 year. You had a Arizona-Texas World Series two seasons ago that nobody, even on the first day of the playoffs, thought was possible. So yeah, if you spend a lot, I think it elevates your floor and it gets you into the postseason. But there's really no evidence that having the biggest payroll means you get to win a championship or you get to win a pennant. You know, the Mets have won nothing since Cohen's been throwing money around. They've been pretty good. They got to the playoffs last year. They made a little run. The Yankees, one title, 2009, one since the 2000s. You think about like the highest payrolls. I think it guarantees you relevance and competitiveness. The Phillies, fourth highest payroll right now. They really have nothing to show for that in terms of banners hanging. But the Cubs are another example in the top six or seven in spending, who haven't won recently. But yeah, I'm all for a cap. I also want a floor. But my point is just, it's amazing to me that we act like the Dodgers are the worst thing that happens in sports. Like, how dare them go sign another guy? This is terrible. This is awful. Everyone should be wanting their team to operate like that.
Yeah, I don't blame them for operating within the rules.
The Nationals, as an example, just to go back to the local team here, had an offseason where they had a great opportunity to go out and spend. There's no reason why they didn't add to their payroll this offseason after turning a corner from a prospects and development standpoint the last couple of years. And they just decided not to. They just said, you know what, we're not going to do that. And everyone says, well, they spent almost $40 million. They basically replaced the money that came off the books from Patrick Corbin's six-year contract finally expiring, almost dollar for dollar. That's what they did. That went off the books. They made a bunch of moves that added up to Patrick Corbin, plus a couple million bucks, and they're going to roll the baseballs back out. Like, that's the conversation I want to have, is how do you get teams to stop doing that?
Agree with you. But the winning part we go back to is, you look at World Series as the judge of parity or not. And you're right. That tournament, that's such a small
championship
sample.
Championship series,
yeah. Championship, fine. To me, there's no parity. When the Yankees go to the playoffs every year, have two seasons in the last 10, despite tons of roster turnover, where they don't make the postseason. And they don't have any losing records in there. They're not subject to it. They don't have the same operating system as everybody else. So to me, the more important thing isn't who gets hot in the tournament, because teams have been hot, not hot, whatever, won the championship, not. And your point about different champions is 100% right. It's the 7 months of grind where you get out of bed in the morning and you have no chance. And you're right that some blame needs to be on the teams that aren't trying. That's 100% a thing. But you also need to lower the automatic entry, basically. The Yankees have an automatic playoff berth every year because they just, if it doesn't go well with the signing, they'll just sign somebody else. Well,
why do you have no chance? I mean, the Rays, year in and year out, were a playoff caliber team when they spent poor team money, you know, high-end poor team money. The A's, we saw. The Minnesota Twins made the playoffs 7 out of 10 years when they were spending a little bit of money. Still competitive every year. The Royals have put together a really good team by spending a little bit of money right now. We're a playoff team last year.
So why is there a need for a salary floor then? If you can just be cheap and do it?
Well, because those teams spent to what the floor would be. They're above the threshold right now. I'm talking about the teams that have payrolls right now, like the A's, the Pirates, the Marlins,
yeah,
the Rays,
fixing.
The Reds. They're just opting out of all transactions for veteran quality talent.
Agreed.
It's unacceptable. I want to get people's thoughts on this, though. 800-636-1067. How does it affect your fandom when you go into an offseason knowing that there's three or four teams that are going to sign the best players and seemingly nobody else is in those sweepstakes? And then you've got teams like Washington or others that just kind of opt out of free agency almost altogether from an impact player standpoint. Grant and Danny on the Fan. Grant and Danny on the Fan. Rob Manfred was asked about the Dodgers buying their way to the top of the NL West again this offseason. And he discussed the fact that they were playing within the rules and that he thinks they didn't do anything necessarily wrong, while he acknowledges that the gap between the Dodgers and the Mets, the teams that spend all the money, and the teams that don't spend any, like the A's and the Pirates, is a problem for the sport. My point is, I think people should be more annoyed by the owners that don't spend. See the Nuttings in Pittsburgh. What's the guy's name at the A's where they just moved the ballpark? Enemy of the state number one there.
I'm blanking.
Fisher in Oakland. You know, the Lerners here in Washington. I made this case during the break there, Danny.
Mm-hmm.
The Nats should be going into this season with an 85 or 86 win roster based on making some significant upgrades.
We agree there.
And they just kind of decided not to. Why? Why are they penciled in for 70 wins instead of 85? What was the point of that? So is it true that they're at a disadvantage in a smaller market, not D.C., but those teams, than the big market clubs are? Definitely. I just think it's exacerbated by the fact that the owners don't spend anyway.
Absolutely.
And that can't be forgiven or forgotten.
Right. I think there's a lot of nuance to it. And as usual, I always find myself, not always, but oftentimes find myself arguing against everybody. You know what I mean? So, like, I'm sort of in the middle, pushing against both sides of the trash compactor, like in New Hope. Basically saying, yes, the teams that don't try, that's irresponsible. And also, we need a system that sort of brings the teams that do try closer to everyone else to have maybe similar rules.
I'd be okay with that, for sure. And, like, if the debate is as simple as, should we try to close the gap? I would say absolutely. But my point is, that is my number two priority. My number one priority is trying to figure out how to get all the teams that don't seem to want to try. Like, that's a more fixable, easy situation pretty quickly. Jorge's in San Antonio listening on the Odyssey app. What's up, Jorge?
Hey, what's up, guys? Can y'all hear me?
Yeah, buddy.
Yeah, Moneyball approach is pretty much dead, has been for 10, 15 years, ever since the Yankees started spending big. Now the Dodgers, they're deferring what seems like trillions and trillions of dollars. I mean, look back at the Nationals' payroll in 2019, the World Series winning team. We were the top five in payroll. We spent a little over $200 million. Now we're in the bottom five, just a little over $30 million. To be honest, it's freaking ridiculous. We're not going to be able to compete against the Dodgers of the world, even the Braves, the Mets, who are spending big, 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 just chunks of cash end of the year. So it's pissing me off, has been for the past couple of years, ever since we haven't really been able to rise to the fame of the glory since 2019. So completely agree with y'all guys, and the Lerners really need to take a step up right now.
Thanks, buddy.
Thank you, dude.
I don't remember them being in the top five in payroll in 2019. I'm not going to completely dismiss that because I don't remember specifically where they ranked, but they lived in the back end of the top 10 for a couple of years in a row for sure.
According to SpotTrack, they were sixth. So Okay. Point is, that's, you know, Kotz may have had them somewhere different. The point is, they were in that conversation. If you're fourth or ninth,
yeah,
you're up there.
I won't
that's
argue
where they
over
lived.
A slot. Yep. I mean, that's higher than I would have even guessed.
Mm-hmm.
But it goes without saying, I mean, they went and they signed Max Scherzer for a couple hundred million bucks. They spent real money, legitimate money, on quality talent. They were close and went and dropped 6 years and $140 million on Patrick Corbin. You could add up everything they've done over the last 5 years. You're not going to get to $140 million. Let's go to Charlie in Annapolis on Grant and Danny. What's up?
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Hey, buddy.
As a Nationals fan, this has been an extremely frustrating offseason, seeing other teams in our division spend money over the last couple of years in free agency. And then our frugal, cheap owner refuses to spend money on his own players. And I'm frustrated. I'll keep rooting for the team. I'll watch them on TV, but I will not be going to any games until the Lerners start putting money back into this team. I think it's the only way to get them to spend money is to hit them in the pocketbook, is for fans to refuse to go to games. We can watch them on TV, but, you know, if we're not going to games, they're losing money, which is going to hopefully force them to spend instead of being king of the one-year deals on all these free agents they're signing.
Well, and it's not like they're big one-year deals, by the way.
Right.
The juxtaposition, though, of what the Nats are doing, and then in the same division, the loaded Phillies, the Mets, who just, I mean, they have pockets that are never-ending.
Never-ending.
And then the Braves, who are going to be big back this year, healthier. I mean, you've got three World Series caliber teams in your division. So if you're not going to get serious about adding a lot of talent, you're basically just going into the year feeling like a fourth-place team every single season. That doesn't work to get the fan base's juices flowing. It's just not going to.
Yeah, and part of, you know, offseason when, you know, the hot stove is happening, there's a top 50 list, a top 20 list, a top, you know, whatever, and you're not mentioned, not linked to any of those players, it's hard to create that buzz. I mean, all people want to do when their attention starts to turn, February, you know, pitchers and catchers reporting, look at all the promise, look at all the hope. And when you weren't in on any of the big signings, if you lost out to Pete Alonso by a dollar, you lost out to, you know, name that superstar, okay, you were showing me a big effort. But when it was like, we weren't even shopping there, dude, what are your fans supposed to think?
We'll talk more about this with Barry Svrluga of the Washington Post, who actually spoke to Mark Lerner, one of the few people in the D.C. media that has in several months. That was just a couple of days ago, and we'll have that conversation with him coming up at 5 o'clock when we give away Wizards tickets today on The Fan. Next, though, what are the top priorities for the Commanders this offseason? We'll get into that on G&D.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.